You're locked in to the hottest station on the planet.
Resistance is futile. The revolution has begun.
You're listening to Rebelpreneur Radio, helping you break the rules and build the business you need for the life you want. And now, broadcasting his pirate signal
from somewhere beyond the status quo,
here's your host, best-selling author, marketing and media strategist, Ralph Brogdon.
Hello and welcome to Rebelpreneur Radio, the show that helps you build the business you need so you can live the life you want. I'm Ralph Brogdon, and I'm excited about today's guest because he's going to teach us the seven drives that fuel every entrepreneur. And certainly, I think that would apply to rebelpreneurs as well. His name is Matt Browning. He is a two-time best-selling author, a master trainer of NLP, and he was a self-made millionaire by 25 years old. He speaks and produces workshops all over the world, from the U.S. to Australia, New Zealand, and the U.K. And he's host of a marketing podcast, one of the top 10 iTunes podcast in that category called The Purpose-Driven Entrepreneur. He's filmed in the movie The Journey with Brian Tracy and Bob Proctor. He was mentored by Tony Robbins. Matt is just a good all-around superhero who is going to teach you how to be a superhero in your business and in your life and how to tap into that success. So, Matt, welcome to Rebelpreneur Radio.
Hey, Ralph, thank you so much for having me. I'm having a blast because two of my favorite things are leadership and superheroes.
Well, that's really neat because as it so happens, a lot of the books on my shelf are about leadership, and I often turn to heroes to try to figure out how we should be in our life, in our business, and how we can be more superhero-like in our endeavors. You take a little bit different approach. You describe how not to be, and you've identified some of the weaknesses in those superheroes. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I think most people think that all those superheroes, right, they're great at saving the world all by themselves. They actually make terrible leaders. What the villains have more superhero traits than the superheroes oftentimes. So what I found is I watched through all my favorite movies with my son, I find there's five superhero traits that I believe every leader must avoid. Hmm. Number one is a Spider-Man snafu. So Spider-Man always believed he had to hide behind a mask. Right, you have to hide behind a mask, and you can't let people know who you really are. You have to be too mysterious. As a leader, you can never be too mysterious. If you're too mysterious, what'll happen is people can't connect with you the same. So I always say, you know, don't walk around with a mask. Don't try to be different or better than you are. Take it off and be authentic. Let people know who you really are.
Hmm, interesting. Now, some people are going to say, well, I'm more introverted. I like to keep things private. And opening up myself is going to put me at risk. People are going to see all the bad things about me, and that's a risk to my leadership. How do you respond to that?
I'd say that's exactly right. It's a risk to being judged. It's not a risk to your leadership. Because the truth is, when people, you know, I always say, never trust a leader without a limp. If you show up if a leader shows up and pretends like everything is okay, you can't trust that because you know something's going on under the surface. So again, don't try to be thinking you have to be all things to all people. Take the mask off, be authentic, and what'll happen is today the number one thing in surveys that team members are looking for is authenticity. Right, they want an authentic, raw, and real relationship. They want to know how you really feel. They want to know what's really going on. If there's trouble in the business, they want to understand so they can join you in the struggle and join you in the fight. Right, that's what taking the mask off is all about.
I like that. What's the second?
The second one is what I call the Mr. Incredible mistake. Now, it's great that we're doing this for Chicago radio because I just did this segment on WCIU Chicago television just before Comic-Con, which is really funny because, you know, we were bringing it there because, of course, superheroes. And everybody loves Mr. Incredible, The Incredibles. Mr. Incredible never trusted his team. And if you watch the Incredible movies, he always has the kids and his wife stay back at home whenever possible. He's always worried for them. He thinks that he's the only one who can get the job done. In the last movie, right, yeah, he left the kids at home. And lucky for us, the kids and baby Jack-Jack, they got out and they saved the day. So trust your team. They're stronger than you think.
I like that. And I think that probably also speaks to the strength of our family relationships, doesn't it?
It's absolutely right. I think it goes beyond just business where, you know, I'm married with a son and I need to trust that my son is stronger than I think, that he can handle falling down. He can handle going to second grade on his own. I need to trust that my wife doesn't need me to open every proverbial pickle jar, you know, and save her from every fall along the way. That she's a tough lady. She can take care of herself. So as a leader of the home, just like a leader in the business, I need to be able to come and support, and I want to serve her, right? I want to take care of her. I want to serve my team members, take care of them. But I also need to trust that they can take care of themselves, and I don't need to try to fix everything.
I love that. Boy, and that's really liberating, isn't it?
It sure is. It takes a huge weight off our shoulders when we the first time you look at a team member or a family member, whoever it is we're talking about, and you see them running with the ball and scoring a touchdown, you're like, wait a minute, I should have done this a long time ago. Who am I to think that I'm the only one that can get it done? But visionaries oftentimes feel like we're the only ones that can do it because we're the ones that started the enterprise or the business or whatever it is.
Yeah. And let's be honest, even if you are a Michael Jordan, you still need a team behind you to put points on the board. You really literally cannot win the game and the championships by yourself.
That's right. Well, I mean, Kobe has a chance, but it depends on the team he's on. He might have a chance, but even Kobe needs a team. Michael Jordan needs a team. I agree.
So we're talking about the five superhero traits every leader must avoid. What's trait number three?
Trait number three is what I call the Iron Man illusion. Now, Iron Man, if you can see my face right now, it's very stern. Iron Man had the belief, and we actually touched on this earlier, he has a belief that he has to keep the armor on. And this is for the leader who can't be vulnerable around people, who can't show the weaknesses. So more than being mysterious like Spider-Man, the Iron Man illusion is about thinking you have to have an armor of protection all the time. That if you have a, you know, maybe you wake up and you feel depressed one morning. You know, you can't ever show that because it's going to weaken the team. No. What'll happen is if you show your vulnerabilities, your team can actually rally around you and help you through things. It's amazing what happens when, like, I remember in Iron Man 2, there was this great scene. He was soaring too high up and he got so high up that Jarvis, you know, the computer system in his suit stopped working and he crashed back down to Earth. And it was just a beautiful scene because he took the mask off. He took the armor off on the ground and you saw that he was beat up and scratched and black eye and he was hurt. He was a vulnerable human. And instead of trying to be a super leader, just be a human being and let people help you when the time's right.
I love that. That sounds really good. What's the fourth trait?
So the fourth trait to avoid, the fourth superhero mistake, is the hectic Hulk. So you've seen the scene, right? Or have you seen the scene of Hulk smash? And what Hulk does is being too emotional. So when Bruce Banner becomes Hulk, what happens is as soon as an enemy comes in or a perceived enemy, Hulk freaks out. And we've all seen Hulk smashing enemies and friends alike because he hasn't had time to think. I say as a leader, it's so important that we need to be driven by, like, you know, emotion and passion. But at the same time, we need to be willing to stop and think things through, right? Even especially if you feel an emotion. We've all written that email that we got halfway through and went, ooh, this is sounding a little too mean. Delete. And we rewrite because we're responding emotionally. A good leader can't afford to respond emotionally. You can bring emotions, but you need to take the time to think it through. You avoid a lot of stupid mistakes.
Yeah. I think this is a good and a necessary balance between the being authentic and going overboard with your emotional outbreaks in a way that is unhealthy and is unsustainable. You're saying that we need to find the balance there and not go Incredible Hulk on everybody all at once.
Don't go Incredible Hulk. Instead, save your emotion for a passionate story you want to tell. Save your emotion for when you have a new product line or a new customer that you want to reach. And bring that emotion to the team as you say, look what we're going to do. I'm so excited about this. Save the emotional reaction for the positive and for the vision, but don't have it for the reactions to things.
Interesting. And I can think of a lot of leaders who they become emotional, but always at the wrong times and always over a negative situation, but they are hardly moved by things that should move them in a positive way. And so you're saying really kind of reverse that and get emotional about the things that are positive and the things that are going to really get people excited around you.
Yeah, real well said.
So five superhero traits that every leader should avoid. What's trait number five?
So trait number five, I call the Superman screw up. I love alliterations, as you can tell. The Superman screw up is not knowing what your kryptonite is.
Hmm.
So every leader, I don't care who you are, like I said, every leader has a limp. Don't trust them if they don't. Every leader has a kryptonite. So we need to know going in what our kryptonite is. So is it too indirect communication? Is it poor time management? Is it self-esteem? Is it losing your temper, right? So I love asking a host. So like, Ralph, what do you think what do you think your kryptonite would be? The thing that if it's gone unchecked could actually cause damage in your enterprise or with your people?
Well, that's a good question, because I was sitting here thinking while you were explaining that, what is my kryptonite? Probably, I don't know. I'm an introverted person, and yes, I'm a visionary and a strategic person. So I guess probably my kryptonite is, I don't know if it's kryptonite, but it's afraid to take off the mask, afraid to get out of the armor. Trying to do everything myself. Pretty much every superhero trait that you say don't do, this is what I'm doing. I'm the antithesis of the superhero right now.
This is why I came up with this segment, because I think it's not the end of the conversation, but it certainly begins the conversation about becoming a super leader. You know, so mine, I'll jump in. I'll share mine and see if you relate to this one. Mine is time management. And it's the kind of thing that if I'm not careful, right, my natural tendency, if I'm not focusing on it, is to get lost in the moment. So I could sit with you and I could talk for 3 hours and listen to stories and forget that we have a certain time frame, right? And most importantly, it would be easy for me to get lost in the moment with a good friend and show up late to my next appointment. So for me, that's my kryptonite. So I have to be double on guard. See, Superman, it's not enough just to fight the kryptonite. He has to be aware of it all the time, everywhere he goes. You know, I remember one of the old Christopher Reeve Superman movies, a great scene where Lex Luthor comes in and all of a sudden he opens up this chest and says, "Superman, I have something for you." And he opens it up and Superman gets rocked back on his heels and goes, "No, you brought it. I can't believe it." And he brought the kryptonite out, and Superman is defenseless. So when you don't know how to deal with your kryptonite, it will cripple you as a leader, and you'll become as ineffective as Superman crumpled on a floor. If you want to be strong, if you want to take care of things, if you want to get the vision out, you got to be able to face your kryptonite head on and ideally get rid of it many times. So put in systems in place, for instance, like for me with time management. I have to put in a really good scheduling system, and I have automated scheduling systems. I use my calendar. My wife and I sync a calendar together because I'm going to forget stuff. So I try to head it off of the pass with a great system. The second thing is, in the moment, I got to really pay attention, because if I don't, I'm going to fall victim to the kryptonite.
I love that. And you've got your defense mechanisms in place to manage the kryptonite. You're not going to be healed from it, so you have to manage it.
That's right. You got to put it in a lead container, right? A big lead chest, and lock it in, you know? Let it out.
Well, now that I've thought about it and heard your explanation, I think I've identified my kryptonite is perfectionism.
Ooh.
And that will steal time, it will steal energy, and it will cause me to take 20 times longer to do something and make it 100% perfect when I probably could have had it 90% finished and done earlier in the process and still would have been 3 times better than anybody else at my particular thing, but I have to have it perfect. And so it's the 80-20 rule. I'm spending too much time on that last 20% when probably the 80% is more than enough to deliver.
Right. The 80% was already better than most 100% that are out there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Easy to say and easy to identify, but not so hard to get out of that habit. So we've got to create these systems to counteract the effect of that kryptonite.
Yeah. And one of the biggest systems I found too is, I wrote about it in the new book that came out last month, The Firebox Principle. One of the systems is getting in touch with what because the firebox is about the motivational drives that are under the surface that push us to do what we do and create what we create as innovators, creators, entrepreneurs, you know. And if you can really be in touch with your true, honest, authentic drives, motivations, that what'll happen is you'll be like on a super highway, just going in the right direction. If you fake it or you convince yourself that you're doing things for a different reason, what'll happen is we'll find inconsistency down the road, and eventually we'll find sabotage even.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. So tell us more about the Firebox Principle. You're the author of that book, The Seven Drives That Fuel Every Entrepreneur. We probably don't have time to go through all seven, but give us give us a couple and whet our appetite for how do we tap into that, and how do we become the superhero leaders that we should be and overcome all of these weaknesses?
Sure. Well, let me tell you a little story about the book. Is what a firebox is it comes from an old steam engine locomotive, and any locomotive that has a steam engine in its core, the firebox is called the firebox, and it's deep down in the core, unseen, hidden in the center, but the fuel that you put in it eventually, you know, burns a fire, creates the steam from the water, and that moves the momentum for the train going forward. So as an entrepreneur, all of us have a firebox that has been put inside us. The question the book answers is, what fuel fuels your firebox? Now, in old days, the Brits would favor coal, America would favor wood, and we've even used different sugar byproducts and corn and all sorts of things to fuel fireboxes. Usually, you pick the fuel based on the environment you're in, right? So if you're going through a big wooded area, you're probably going to start burning wood, and so forth and so on. So what I answer with the firebox is, I realize there's seven different fuels that drive and fuel us as visionaries. And I'll call it visionaries because whether it's a nonprofit, a business, a ministry, a blog, a podcast, you're a coach, a speaker, an author, whatever it is, there's something inside us, an artist. We have something that we want to bring to the world. We have a message, we have a vision, and we want to make it happen. And if you're so consumed by that vision that you can't not make it happen, then I'm talking to you, and that's who the book's for. The seven drives are about getting in touch with what is the driving fuel for that particular vision. This is not a personality profiling system. It's not Myers-Briggs and DISC and all the other, you know, great, you know, strength finders. There's great systems out there. It's not about learning who you are. It's about learning the why, the deep why behind each one of your endeavors. So there's different drives. Like, we have the significance drive. Usually this comes from someone who is either in the shadow of someone great as a kid, or they were neglected or abused, or you know, somehow for some reason didn't feel like they were enough. And as they grow up, one of the drives to create something great is because they want to make a name for themselves. And this is not negative, right? This is something that some of the greatest creators in history had a significance drive, because they wanted to say, you know what, I want to make my mark. I want my name to be remembered. And through that drive, you can build great enterprise that lasts for a long time.
Powerful, very powerful. So the Firebox Principle, seven drives that fuel every entrepreneur. And you've actually got a free quiz that people can go and take. And I guess that's going to kind of help identify what's driving them.
Yeah, so we're actually finishing working on it now, depending on when this episode comes out or when the show comes out. But coming up in just later in the year here, we'll have the Firebox quiz done. It'll be free for all readers of the book. And yeah, you can go to fireboxbook.com/quiz. And what it'll do is it'll actually give you it'll be about 5 minutes and give you a ranking of your primary and secondary and so forth of your drives. So which of these drives is the biggest one fueling? But also, what's the secondary? Because that can change. See, there's other drives like the contribution drive. The number one reason why you're doing your business is because of the people you're helping. And that's not to say that if you have a significance drive number one, that you don't care about people. If, you know, hear me right. You could have significance number one and contribution number two, which means, yeah, you want to make a great name for yourself, but you want to help people when you're doing it. Whereas if you had contribution as number one, significance number two, it would be all about the people. And while you're doing that, you certainly would like to make a mark as well. Can you feel the subtle difference in those?
Yeah. And I suppose that would also that would have a lot to do with motivation and purpose and persuasion and what we bring to the table and how we prioritize what we do and how we do, tapping into the why we're doing it.
I completely agree. It's all about the why and the motivation. And one of the big things you get to do with it too is when you understand your fire drive, you get to rally people around your vision in a clear, concise way, and you get to bring your story into it. And a lot of it's more in vogue nowadays that new businesses are bringing their stories into things. You know, look at nobody knows the story of Gillette razors, right? Or Schick razors. But maybe you've heard the story of Harry's, because Harry's razors that kind of came out after Dollar Shave Club, their story is, we're sick and tired of the big razor companies who charge way too much for razors that are very cheap to make. And we don't think it's fair. And we're sick of getting four razor blades at the drugstore for $32, you know, or $16. and we think that's dumb.
Yeah, I did too. That's why I started getting my razors from Harry's.
Oh, you did? So you're a Harry's user.
Yeah.
All right. So Shout out to Harry's. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
but what Harry's did so great is, rather than leading with a product, they led with their fire drive, which is the one they use is the one I call the Avenger drive. Going back to superheroes. The Avenger drive is the drive that's inside that is based on either anger or revenge very often. And it doesn't, you know, anger and revenge doesn't sound so positive. Avenger sounds better. But this is the drive of so many businesses that have been built because they want to show somebody that they can do it. They see something in an industry that's not right, and they want to make it right. They want to turn a wrong and make it right. James Dyson started Dyson Vacuums out of the Avenger drive. He was sick of the vacuum industry that was taking advantage of customers with poor technology and disposable bags. So they were really getting at us every single day. Remember being as a kid, you know, my mom always replacing the vacuum bags and having to order a new 3-pack every couple weeks.
Yeah.
So Dyson said, I have a bagless vacuum cleaner, and nobody wanted it. No, none of the industry wanted it. So he had to leave England, and he went to America and started selling it. He went to Asia and started selling it. And eventually it became the new standard. And when he came back to the UK, they were forced to do it. And now if you go to a Target, every vacuum manufacturer has the bagless same style that Dyson created. But he made that to change an industry.
Well, that's really good. And that taps right into the heart of the idea behind the Rebelpreneur. Everyone else is doing business a certain way. We're going to come in and disrupt that. And that's going to be our strategic advantage. So Harry's is a good example. Dyson is a good example. All of these are really excellent examples. And I encourage our listeners to check out more about Matt Browning at fireboxbook.com. And, Matt, you're also a speaker. In the time that we have left, just a few minutes, tell us more about your speaking and your workshops, and what are you doing as you're traveling around the world sharing your message with people?
Wow, thank you so much. So, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for 16 years, and for the last 12 years, I've been running personal development workshops using a technology called neuro-linguistic programming, which is NLP for short. And neuro-linguistic programming, in simple terms, is simply leveraging the language of the mind, how our mind already speaks to us and how our mind creates patterns to consistently achieve your desired outcomes. So in super short, if you put it on a bumper sticker, it's use your mind to change your habits. If you use your mind the way your mind already works to change your daily habits, that will affect all of your goals, your outcomes, your results, and every behavior you have. So all of our workshops are all about how to leverage NLP to shift and change. Everyone, I believe, has either a habit that they want to begin doing that they're not doing, like getting up early, working out, eating healthy, etc. And everybody, if they're honest, has a habit that they're doing they should probably stop. Maybe it's donuts, maybe it's smoking, maybe it's sleeping in, maybe it's procrastination, whatever that might be. So we have a great workshop called Accelerate, EXC, Accelerate is really cool. And it's a 3-day workshop that I do all across the U.S. I've done them actually all over the world, from Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, UK, you know, you name it. And it's all about having a group of people together and just using NLP. We teach some of the techniques, and then we take the group through techniques to shift and change habits, attitudes, behaviors, and even our deep unconscious values if they're conflicted. I know I said a lot in there, but it's all about changing habits and attitudes.
Well, positive change through changing your mind, you can change every area of your life. So I like that. That's awesome. So this has been good, and I want to make sure that we get people to your website. It's mattbrauning.com, and that's spelled Matt, M-A-T-T, B-R-A-U-N-I-N-G.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Perfect.
And on that website, that's where you can find – I love doing corporate keynotes. I love speaking at companies. I've spoken at all sorts of companies, from YMCA to U.S. Bank. That's a lot of fun. And then running, of course, private NLP workshops. And then feel free to pick up the book. I'm doing the media tour right now, doing television, radio, and podcasts, and having a blast. So thank you so much for having me on this.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to have you. Matt Brauning is a 2-time best-selling author. And just recently, the author of The Firebox Principle, The 7 Drives That Fuel Every Entrepreneur. He's a speaker and a master trainer of NLP. You can find out more about Matt at mattbrauning.com. Matt, once again, thanks a lot. It's been really great having you on the show.
Thank you, Ralph.
You've been listening to Rebelpreneur Radio with Ralph Brogdon. Download the show notes and much more at ralphbrogdon.com.